So now we're moving to Dr. Marissa Bunning, and she is a food safety extension specialist who currently teaches courses in food safety and has recently helped develop and implement a new course, Science of Food Fermentation. One of her research interests is centered on investigating connections between process of fermentation and the impact on safety of food and beverage products, including reducing the risk of foodborne illnesses and improving health. Dr. Bunning's outreach focuses involves development and dissemination of research-based materials and extends from local industries and agricultural producers to consumers. Dr. Bunning?
Good morning, everyone, and thanks. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk with you today about the Western Regional Food Safety Training Center. Four regional food safety training centers have been announced over the past 7 months. These centers came into existence because of the passing of the Food Safety Modernization Act in 2011. And I also wanted a chance to explain that my role with the centers is just volunteer coordinator of the Mountain Subregion. The title slide listed me as a director, but I don't have the power to direct anything. I'm just an extension educator trying to learn about these trainings and helping to coordinate in our subregion. So unfortunately, over the past two decades, progress in reducing the risk of foodborne illness in the United States has been limited. There have continued to be many outbreaks, often high-profile ones, associated with specific food products. Microbial testing and identification methods have improved, however, and this information is often used to trace contamination back to a specific source. Almost half of all outbreaks with a known source have been associated with fresh produce. You're probably aware of most of the outbreaks that are listed in the third bullet: ice cream, cucumbers just last year, raw poultry the year before that, eggs in 2010, spinach, to name a few. Of the ones listed here, two of them, cantaloupe, which occurred in our state, Colorado, and peanut butter, resulted in criminal charges against the growers or processors. This certainly highlights the importance of preventing contamination and the major changes that have occurred in our food regulatory system. We tend to hear about the large outbreaks that extend to more than one state, but actually, those only account for about 3% of all known outbreaks. The vast majority of outbreaks, about 97%, occur within a single state. In an effort to improve the safety of our food supply, the development of proposed food safety regulations took place over several years, leading up to the passing of the Food Safety Modernization Act, known as FSMA, early in 2011. This was the most significant reform of food safety regulations since the 1930s. One of the main goals is to put effort into prevention rather than detection and reaction. In other words, to apply interventions upstream in the food supply chain, because once a food is contaminated, it can be difficult, if not impossible, to remove that contamination. This is an extensive act, and there are seven major rules associated with it. The regional centers over the next 3 years will be primarily focused on training for produce safety and the preventive controls for human food. Information is available from FDA and other agencies to help in understanding FSMA requirements for different types and sizes of food operations. There are publications and recorded webinars that are available now that cover specific areas of the final rules. I have near me here on my desk FDA's seven-pager called Final Rule on Produce Safety and the Produce Safety Alliance's two-pager. These really help in understanding the various sections of the different rules. And kind of a disclaimer, I'm more familiar with the produce safety training. I'm working on coming up to speed and will be attending some preventive control training soon, and then hopefully we'll be much more familiar with that one. So the official name of the center in our part of the country is the Western Training Education Extension Outreach and Technical Assistance Center to Enhance Food Safety. That's quite long and ambitious, so it's often shortened to just Western Regional Food Safety Training Center, or even just Western Training Center. Our center is anchored at Oregon State University, and it includes all 13 Western states. The National Institute of Food and Agriculture and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration provided funding to establish these centers and to assist in initiating the training process within all states in our region. I thought it might be helpful to think about the time frame that's associated with FSMA. It was necessarily a slow and methodical process. Stakeholders were given opportunities to comment on proposed sections of the various rules, and numerous meetings were held to enhance communication between FDA, the food producers, and consumers. So several years passed before final rules were announced. The preventive controls for human and animal foods passed last August, and then the produce rule was announced in November. Early in 2015, opportunities were made available to establish the regional centers, and then the selection of the Western Center was announced last October. Now that the rules are finalized, training curricula to learn about the rules have been developed. And I show that on this slide as a balloon because it's still taking shape as everyone learns more about this process and the implementation of training. FDA and USDA collaborated in building the framework that's associated with FSMA. Over the past several years, then, various alliances were funded and tasked with developing curricula and preparing for the training. In the white boxes on this slide, you see Produce Safety Alliance, or PSA, which is centered at Cornell University, and the Food Safety Preventive Controls Alliance, or FSPCA, which is at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Acronyms seem to be inherent with FSMA. I keep a glossary of terms and acronyms handy and find that to be really helpful. The regional centers will be focused on training PSA and FSPCA trainers. The timeline for curricula development parallels the timeline from the previous slide. And so development of the training materials was occurring as the final rules were being completed. So this map shows the location of the four regional centers. So from left to right, we have the Western Center at Oregon State, the North Central Center at Iowa State, the Southern Center at the University of Florida, and the Northeast Center at the University of Vermont. The Western region is highlighted in blue, and as you can see, it encompasses a large percentage of the U.S. landmass and a significant amount of food production, from deserts to tropical environments, from sea level to over a mile high. Altogether, our region is a very diverse area with an array of crops and growing environments. There was a short turnaround time for the development of a proposed center, but all 13 states and two territories collaborated on the western one. It makes sense to group our large region into smaller subregions, and land grants have a long history of outreach education and established statewide networks, so it makes sense that land grants are associated with this center. The establishment of centers includes training targeted specifically to smaller operations, socially disadvantaged farmers, and small processors. Although there are exemptions available for smaller operations, many of the smaller operations will likely want to attend the trainings, they'll be interested in the trainings, and then buyers may require that operations have fulfilled the requirement for trainings, even if that operation is exempt. So, the four people listed in bold on this slide had previous experience with food safety training and produce safety. I also like to say they just happened to answer their phone early last spring. But more collaborators are definitely needed, and we're currently seeking participants and would be really appreciative if you were interested or if you know others who would be good candidates for becoming trainers or even just attending the trainings. And finally, this slide highlights the Mountain States subregion in blue. You can see that we take up a significant amount of landmass just in our subregion. We were able to arrange two of the first Produce Safety Alliance trainings that will be offered, one in New Mexico, October 17th and 18th, and then one in Denver, Colorado on October 19th and should be 20th. and then more trainings will be coming. Our aim is to hold trainings in various parts of our sub-region to make these trainings as accessible as possible. There will be slots available in specifically in the Denver, Colorado one for potential trainers that who are interested in attending from the other states in our sub-region. Now, this table shows the states and territories that are broken down into the four different sub-regions of the West. We've got the Pacific, the Northwest, the Southwest, and then our section that includes Colorado, Montana, and Wyoming, which is known as the Mountain States. During the development of our center proposal, requests were included for what are called add-ons to the set curriculum. And these were added on to address some of the specific challenges faced in our region. For example, we have definitely have issues with wildlife, with remote production locations, with crops near livestock production, and then we have climate challenges. A few crops that are grown in our region are listed, but of course there are many more. There will be opportunities for all states to participate in developing some of these add-on trainings. So start thinking about some possible ideas of things that might be useful in your region that would apply to food safety, that would be helpful for any type of food producer. Also on this slide, the goal for the number of trainers is given. And there are differences between certified trainers and lead trainers. And these types of details are outlined on the Alliance website. And hopefully more information will be on our Western website specifically about this. The goal varies based on production and population. So you can see that the goal for our six states is to have 60 trained individuals. And just think of this as the number to get things started with the training. Some support comes from the states to help with this initial number, and ideally states and land grants will be, the support comes from the centers to help, and then hopefully more support will come from states and land grants. As we prepare for the first two trainings, we're hoping to build a toolkit that will help everyone be able to outline the steps for arranging a training in your location. This is all new territory in many ways, and it's similar in some regards to the rules that were developed 20 years ago for organic production. Now consumers are very familiar with the organic seal on food products, and growers are familiar with the standards associated with organic production. So down the road in 10 years, information about FSMA trainings will be hopefully be common knowledge, although it's all new now. And here's the final slide. This is a picture of the website Oregon State has developed and is currently posted. And this is a place that will have information about the trainings as they become available, and it will be a resource for finding various trainings, locations, and dates. And also, once the add-on curricula are developed, which is estimated to be happening not this year, but about a year down the line, and those will be shared on this website as well. Really appreciate your time, and we're learning as we go. So I probably will not be able to answer many questions, but I would be happy to try and find any answers that you need. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for a great presentation, Dr. Bunning. We do have time for just one question that came in from the audience, and I want to reemphasize to the audience that you can click in the questions over there just under the pictures in the Q&A pod and hit that little bubble over there to provide questions. They might not get answered right now at the webinar, but they would be on, then recorded and be able to be answered later. So the main question that came in from the audience is, my concern is how FSMA discourages diverse cropping by small farms because of the complex regulatory environment. Have you looked at the FSMA requirements, identified clusters of crops that are under the same regs to make it possible for small farmers to exist and thrive?
That's a good question, and I'm trying to think about ways that we could work to address that in some of the add-on curriculum that the curricula that will have an opportunity to develop. So the But, and I didn't go over very many of the specific details because there are quite a few of them. But the because of the exemptions that are available, I think that that many of the smaller farms and will be able to qualify for those exemptions. I mentioned some growers may want to attend the trainings anyway, but it wouldn't. But they won't fall under the same requirements for having inspections and for having to meet the training requirements. So I may not have answered that. I will look into it and see if I can find out more information. I'm not going to be available for the questions later because I have to go teach a class. But anything that any questions that are passed on to me, I will try to find the answers and reply back directly.
All right, thank you, and thank you very much for your excellent presentation.